Thursday that Bradley had taken his own life, I was angry. I was so angry. I was angry at Brad. I was angry at the devil. I felt guilty. Could we have done something more? Could I have done something more? Even if you're not connected to this, you end up feeling guilty. Could this happen in your family? What are you doing as a parent right now? What should you be doing? We end up feeling sad. And I think we have questions. Where was God? If God is a loving God, how could He let this happen? So it's times like this that you wonder, well, maybe there isn't a God. But if there's no God, then there's no tragedy. It's just life. If there's no God, the sun burns out. In a few billion years, the planet Earth freezes over and all of human history doesn't mean anything. So we're kind of stuck. In order to feel bad about this, there has to be a loving God. And yet if there's a loving God, how could this happen? So we have these questions and thoughts, and how do we fit, and what's life about, and how do we fit into this? And that's, I think, what the kingdom is all about. We're in this series, and we've been looking at the seven connections, and we're at the part where we're talking about the kingdom. We need something big to fall back on. We need something big that encompasses our life and our questions and all the things that happen in this world. So far we've been talking about little things. And I want to just do a little summary of where we've been so that you can see where this kingdom thing sort of fits in, and maybe this kingdom thing can kind of give us some answers or steer us towards some hope as we go forward. So about 5-6 weeks ago, we began talking about connection one, our personal relationship to God, and we illustrated that with an arrow going up. That people inherently want a connection to God or the force or whatever it is out there, that we instinctively feel like there's something more than what we see. And how do we get connected to that? We talked about talking, listening repeatedly. How you connect with anyone, how stories come together. This person has a story, this person has a story, and these stories collide and become one story through talking, listening repeatedly. And when you talk to God, we call that what? Prayer. And the most consistent way to listen to God is what? Reading His Word. Repeatedly. We have to do it over and over again. We live life with God. We call that personal devotions. Daily personal devotions. It's the most important vertical habit that you can have. Well, then we talked about how we are wired as human beings to want another kind of connection. So we talked about connection too, either to a spouse or to a friend. It's like we have this built-in need for a partner to do things together with someone. And if you want God at the center of that partnership, if you want God at the center of your marriage, then it takes talking, listening repeatedly. The two stories, again, coming together. And all that results from that, all the life that comes out of that. And if you want God at the center of that, it takes talking, prayer. And it takes Bible reading together as husband and wife, or as close friends. So horizontal and vertical habits. And then we expanded this circle to family, connection three. That if God blesses you with children, they're the most important people in the world to you. And if you want a close relationship in your family, it takes talking, listening repeatedly. You can't have a close family. You don't get the stories joining together without talking, listening repeatedly. You need habits in your life to make that happen. And if you want God at the center of your family, it takes talking, prayer, reading the Bible, listening to God together, family devotions. So we talked about how do we get family habits? How do we get horizontal and vertical habits in our family? Then we talked about, well, that's hard. It's hard in a world where there's so many options, so many things pulling our family members this way and that. Wouldn't it be great if we had support from other families and other individuals and other couples who are trying to do the same thing, the exact same thing? So we talked about Connection 4, small groups. And they can be official small groups like we have in our church. They can be unofficial. You know, if you go back 100 years, there were no small groups. You couldn't go to a church and ask about their small group ministry. But there were small groups there. They were called extended families. Some of you remember some of that. Maybe some of you still have it. After church, they would go to grandma's house. My wife, on Saturday, would have to go to her grandma's house. She lived right across the road. And they had to bring their Sunday school papers. And they had to recite their memory work in front of grandma. So they had to learn it. There was a support network. Because doing these things is hard. So you see these circles keep growing. You're trying to walk with God, but then you have a partner who will help you. You have a family that will help you. You have a small group of people who are trying to do what you're trying to do, and they're trying to help you. And then last week we talked about Connection 5, the church coming together, like this service that we're having now. And we talked about last week how the church service can be one of two things. It can be the surrogate walk that you have. In other words, you don't have a personal walk, you don't have a marriage walk, you don't have a family walk. It's not supported in small groups, so you come to church and you're hoping this church service will do the walk for you. That the word read here and the prayers that are done here, that's good enough. That will take the place. Or the church service can be the culmination of all the personal talking and listening to God in marriages, in families, in small groups. All the praising of God that's been happening all week long. All the questions, all the study, all the interaction, all the talking and listening. And it comes together. All the singing. You know, my wife, yesterday, we were sitting on the back porch outside singing. I had my guitar and we're singing songs together. You see, if we're all doing that, you know, I know some of you would have a harder time of it. But if we're all doing that, what would the singing like be here on Sunday morning? You know, we've been rehearsing all week long, and finally we get to come together to do it. Wow! We'd raise the roof. Well, we talked about that. Well, the next circle is the kingdom. See, all these circles that we've been talking about so far, they're really kind of small. They don't have a lot of history. But the kingdom is a big circle. And on the diagram here, it doesn't look that big, but it's really a big circle. It's a circle that goes beyond our life. It's a huge endeavor that God has been at for centuries and centuries and centuries all across the world. And somehow we're a part of that. It's a kingdom. Now the problem with kingdoms is there are more than one. There are many kingdoms out there. And kingdoms are kind of like big rivers. You know, if you've ever gone down a river in a raft or a canoe, you know, and you start going down this river, especially if you've done it in Colorado or something like that, you know, these big, they give you paddles. They give you a paddle and say, here you go. But that's just for fun. Because the paddle is, it can spin you around, it can direct you a little bit this way or that way, but you know what? No matter what you do with that paddle, you're going to be going down this river. And this river is going to take you wherever it wants to take you. And whether you know where it's going or not, it will take you there. And that's what kingdoms are like. Kingdoms are like these rivers we find ourselves in. And how did we get here? I don't know. Some of these rivers, we were born into these rivers, and they're just flowing. And we don't know the history of this river, and we don't know exactly where these rivers are going, but it's just taking us. And there's many rivers that we find ourselves in. In a couple of weeks, the Olympics are going to start, and there's going to be a race, and there's going to be someone crossing the finish line with the letters USA on the front. And they're going to stand on the block thing, and they're going to get the gold medal, and we're going to hear the national anthem. And they're going to be filled with pride, and so are we. Why? Because we are part of this kingdom of the USA. Most of us didn't choose it, but we were born, here it is. And we're going down this river. Where's it going? I don't know. Some of us here have Dutch ancestry. Dutch people came over from the Netherlands, and horror beyond horrors, they settled here in Michigan. Why? I don't know. We wish they had settled in South Carolina, where we don't have the winters we have here. But they didn't. So here we are, stuck in this river. How do we get here? Well, I don't know. It's our ancestors' fault. Why they picked here, I don't know. But now I've got relatives here. I've got family. I what can I do? Here I am. I better make the best of it. These rivers, we can paddle a little bit, but for the most part, this river is going to take you down. And some of you have different stories. Maybe you have German ancestry, Polish ancestry, similar kinds of stories. The Christian Reformed Church. Many of you were born into the Christian Reformed Church. My grandparents were in it. My parents were in it. I've been in it. It was just this river I found myself in. Where did it come from? Many of us don't know. We don't know the history. A lot of the things that we do today are because of a man named John Calvin. But many of us haven't read a thing that he's ever written. We don't know what he's written. We don't know why we do the things that we do. It's 500 years since he was born. 500 years ago, this river that we are in right now, some of what we're doing got started. It's a long river, a lot of history. Yeah, we don't know it. We just find ourselves in it. And here we go, down the river. Some of you love skateboarding. That's a kingdom. That's a river. There are people staying up all night trying to figure out how to make money at skateboarding. There are catalogs this thick with wheels and boards and shoes and shirts and baggy pants, whatever. Whatever's in that kingdom. You know, sometimes our kids think they just fell into skateboarding like they invented it. They didn't invent it. There's a whole kingdom of skateboarding. And somehow that river came by their house, and all of a sudden they're in the river. And it's going somewhere. Where's it going? Where did it come from? What's it about? And we can just look at thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. All these rivers that we find ourselves. I think it's especially a struggle here in the United States because, you know, a lot of countries have a long, long history. We have a short history, and so they've narrowed things down to a few rivers. But for us, we're the melting pot. They call the United States a melting pot. People have come from all over the world, and they have brought their rivers with them. And then we've had unprecedented prosperity for the last 100 years. Never in the history of the world have things changed so much in the last 100 years. And people have options and choices and things to do. And it's like we have a gazillion myriad of rivers to choose from. But a lot of these rivers we haven't even chosen. They've just happened into our lives and we're busy. And some of you, your reaction to this is, I want to try every river. Some of you are real adventurous and you want to try every single river. It's like you don't want to die having not tried a river. And so you spread yourself over all kinds of things. You're busy. Going from one thing to another. Never doing anything well. Others get so tired of that. Get tired of being pushed into this direction. They finally decide on one river. I'm going to do this one thing. And you can pick anything. You can pick any topic in the world today. And you can dedicate your whole entire life to it. I don't care what the topic is. 8 years ago I decided, you know, I wanted a new guitar. I had one for 20 years. I wanted a new guitar, and I was thinking I deserve something really good. And the best guitars at that time were, what's the best ones? Martin. I was looking at some Martins, and I thought, do I deserve a Martin? Absolutely. I thought, yes, I do deserve a Martin. But then I saw something about building your own Martin for half the price. And I thought, that sounds more like me. I deserve a half-price Martin that I build myself. So I bought the kit, and I thought, how hard can it be? I started putting it together. It's a little harder than you think. And the thing that I found is, you know, I got a big book about this fat, all the instructions, and but then on the internet, and I found there's a whole world of guitar making. That there are people, this is what they do, this is what all of life is. It's about wood. My son started making his own violin, and there's some guy who said if you put the wood out in the sun for an hour, that changes its note, you hit the note, and it's got to be a B, but it should be a C, and so you put it in this, it's just infinite variety in woods and kinds of woods, and then you start studying wood. You could give your whole life to wood. Studying wood and the properties of wood and the kinds of wood and what wood does. It's like anything you pick, I don't care what it is, you can dedicate your entire life to it. So we have these kind of extremes. So some of us feel stretched that we're just in so many rivers and all we're doing is running from river to river to river to river. And some of us are locked into a certain river and hoping that river somehow meets all of our needs. So we struggle with these things. Well, why do we even need these things? I mean, why do we need this whole kingdom thing? We've been talking about your personal, your marriage, your family, small groups, church. Why can't we just leave it at that? Why are we drawn to these kingdom-type endeavors, these big things? Well, so far we've been talking about how, you know, I'm a person and I want to do something and I need the support of a partner, a family, a small group, and a church, and so on. I need the support of all these people, but actually, this thing, you know, church needs the support of all the people doing it. So we've been looking at it this way. If we have personal devotions and marriage devotions and family devotions and small group, then our church will be great. So let's go in that direction. But it's true going the other direction too. The only reason why we get into it is because there's some big thing. The reason you get into skateboarding is because skateboarding is a kingdom out there. There's a lot of people dedicating their lives to this thing, and so it finally comes to your attention. So kingdoms, they what they do for us is they give us a sense of something big. Kingdoms connect us to something bigger than our own lives. Kingdoms explain who we are. Kingdoms give us a cause to live for, to get excited about, maybe even to die for. Actually, we are dying for whatever we give our time to. They give us something to wrap our life around. And hopefully, if it's a good kingdom, they'll hold us when we have questions about life. Well, this kingdom of God does that. I want you to go to the next slide. I've taken this, and you know, it's sort of a flat picture we've been looking at, these concentric circles and so on. But with the kingdom, you really need to turn it on its side. This line represents a timeline. And on the left is the beginning, and the arrow goes towards all eternity. Okay, if you go to the next one. And there's those same circles we've been looking at, but I've turned it on its side. And that large circle, that's the kingdom. And if you could put the next lines on. This is really more of an accurate picture of the kingdom. See, the kingdom isn't just something that exists now. God isn't just doing things all over the world right now in our lifetime. He's been doing these things from the beginning of time. So what you see here is kind of a cone-shaped thing. That the kingdom has been going on. If you add the next one. See, that's my life. Actually, my life you wouldn't even be able to see. But we had to make it a little bit bigger. Right? That inner circle is your personal life. But my personal life is only a short period of time on the planet. And then if you saw the picture of my marriage and my family and my extended family, yeah, it gets a little bit bigger, but not much. And then my small group, how long are they on the planet? Not really that long. Even Pathway Church, it's only been here 14 years. It's not that big. See, our connection to most of life is to some small little entity in a small little part of the planet. And this small little entity isn't going to answer the big questions for you. And so we seek out something big. Something that has been around. Something that gives you a sense that life, it goes beyond my life. Well, there is a kingdom that has been going on since the beginning of history. A kingdom that began when God created the world. A kingdom that got going when God said, you know, there'll be this contest between evil
and good, between darkness and light. And we read about God's kingdom in the Bible. And we need that. We need to be a part of a kingdom that can go beyond our own lives. Now, the problem is, see, it's a battle of kingdoms. It's God's kingdom versus the devil's kingdom. And the devil wants to throw you off track. So what he does is he throws out many faux kingdoms. You know what the word faux is? Fake. Right? You could have a pillar made of marble and you can make a pillar made out of plastic. It looks like they look similar. But one is real and one is fake. And the fake one has some of the same properties as the real one. It can give you some of the same things. And that's how tricky the devil is. He said, you know, I'm going to give you a bunch of kingdoms. They're going to feel like the real kingdom. And you can pick anything. You can pick out anything that has been around longer than your life. Last week we talked about baseball. Baseball's been around for 100 years, more than 100 years. It's got history. It was here before I was born. And when I arrived, it was here. And it's a thing. And it exists. And there's three strikes and you're out. Not two, not four. That wouldn't make any sense. It is three. That's the way it is. That's the way it will always be. It has to be important. It has to be something. I mean, look at these stadiums. Look at the people. Look at them cheering. Look at the money. It has to be something. There has to be meaning and purpose to this. They have a World Series, for goodness, every year. And they battle and their money and there's a winner. It has to mean something. And where's the Canton, Ohio? Is that where it is? What's it called? The what? Hall of Fame. You know, you can go to Canton, Ohio, you can go to the Hall of Fame, and there are people that have long since died, and yet there they are, immortalized forever. They are part of history. Okay? See, all these things give you a sense like there's history, there's purpose, there's meaning. But if there is no God, and the sun burns out, and the planet freezes over, what history? There is no history. There is no meaning. There is no purpose. See, these things give you a sense of those. You know, when I'm playing with my friends, I'm playing golf, and, you know, we're tied, and it's the last hole, and I sink a 25-foot birdie, I get the feeling like I just went to heaven. Like the doctor just came back and said, it's not cancer. I mean, it's similar. It's a similar feeling. It's a full feeling. See, the devil fills our lives with all these things that will give you a sense of what we really want. And what do we really want? We want to be in a kingdom that really means something. We want to be in a kingdom that is true. We want to be in a kingdom that explains life. Where did it come from? Why are we here? Why are you here? Why are you in this church? Why are you on this planet? Why did God create this world and stick you in it? Why did he put you here? Why did he put Brad here? How does this make any sense? See, are these other kingdoms going to answer those questions? They're just going to tell you about their thing. They're going to distract you from those questions. Ah, you don't want to think about that. Who wants to think about death? Who wants to think about these things? Let's just move on. Let's just fill our lives with things. We don't have to think about these things. Well, ultimately, we want to be a part of a real kingdom. This past week, we read about the Bible's view of what that kingdom is. We read from Chronicles 29, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor belong to you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands is the power to exalt and give power." Then I had you read Psalm 145. "All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, It's not some invention that people came up with. It's everlasting. Your dominion endures through all generations. It's not just my tiny life. It's not just what we do here at Pathway over the next whatever years. God's kingdom covers all of human history and all of future history. Isaiah 9, I had you read this past week. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I also had you read from Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told stories about the kingdom, parables about the kingdom. One of the parables that he told was the parable of the mustard seed, that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's a small, tiny little seed. It doesn't look like it's much. It looks like these other faux kingdoms are bigger, are more powerful, are more popular, have more money, have more people enthusiastic about it. Okay, that's what it looks like sometimes, doesn't it? You go to a game and you see 80,000 people wildly screaming about what's going on. Their enthusiasm is incredible. And then you go to church and watch half the people with their eyes closed and not even paying attention. And you wonder, okay, hold it here. Which is the real kingdom? Well, the real kingdom might sometimes look like a mustard seed. But Jesus was saying, but what happens to that mustard seed? It grows into this big, huge bush that becomes a blessing to all the birds in the area. That's what the kingdom is like. It's not like all these other faux kingdoms. It's different. It has a different purpose. It's trying to bring healing to a broken world. It's not trying to be king of the mountain. See, that's what kingdoms want to do. See, ultimately, what kingdoms want to do is rule over you. Kingdoms want to control your life. God's kingdom is about giving up control, not controlling people's lives, but giving their lives to God. Also in that chapter, there was a parable of the weeds, and that was a little more disturbing because a farmer goes out and he plants his crop, and all of a sudden, the people working notice that there are weeds growing, and they come to the owner, well, what do we do? We got good crop, we got weeds, and the owner says, well, just let them grow together. Just let them grow together. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle between kingdoms. There's going to be a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And that's what makes me angry about last Thursday, is the forces of the evil. The forces of evil made this happen on Thursday. Where were the forces of good? We're in this battle. We're not just lollygagging our way through life. We're not just floating down the river. See, that's the tendency. Hey, I'm in some rivers, I'm just going to float and see where they go. Now, what river do you want to be in? What's the most important river? Make a choice. Just go with the flow. Just flow down some river because that's what you were born in. And if you were born in the Christian Reformed Church, then you should learn something about it. You should study it. You should learn it. We had the Heidelberg Catechism class for folks to do with their kids at home, and there was a class time and so on, which was a little different than maybe some are used to. Let me read from, this is a little book about John Calvin. I think everyone should read this book. John Calvin, this was the life of John Calvin. Excellent book. He was an incredible person. He writes, children must be taught catechism. And this is more even necessary now in view of the neglect of the Word of God which we see in most people and the contempt of parents in instructing their children in the way of God. For this, a catechism must be written. Parents must teach it to their children. That was Calvin's original idea. Parents must teach this to their children. So we're trying to help parents do that, to learn. What is this river that we find ourselves in? Now, I've been doing this for 25 years, and I can count on probably one hand the people that have come up to me and said, hey, do you have a book on John Calvin? Hey, I'd like to learn more about our church history. Do you have anything on that? In fact, I rarely have, in 25 years, have had anybody ask about any book of any sort, of any kind. And I've thought about classes. I'd love to teach here at Pathway, but I don't. You know why? Because I don't think you'll come. I'll end up with two people. 10 of you will start, and then it'll drop down to 2. And not because I'm a lousy teacher. We just go with the flow. You know what I want to do today, really? What I really want to do is just bring comfort. I want to bring the comfort of the kingdom. The comfort of something that goes way beyond your life. Our lives are so small. They're so short. I know that it's very important to us. But our lives are so short compared with all eternity, all of human history, all the kingdom activity that God is doing. And I want to bring the comfort of that kingdom. That even in difficult times, even when things don't make any sense at all, the kingdom is large enough for that. What I really appreciate about the Bible is the Bible does not paint a rosy picture. It paints life as it really truly is. Even John Calvin, he got married late in life to a wife. They got pregnant, had a child, and that child died. Now, let me read just part of that. Yeah, the child was born prematurely. Calvin baptized his little son. The child lingered 2 weeks and then died. His wife did not recover strength quickly. In August, writing to a friend, Calvin said, "Greet your wife, to whom mine returns her thanks for so much friendly and precious consolation. The Lord has certainly inflicted a severe and bitter wound in the death of our infant son, but he is himself a father and knows what is best and good for his children." It reminds me of the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, who wrote in Romans chapter 8, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Paul was talking about a purpose that goes beyond my life, goes beyond your life, goes beyond Brad's life. And a purpose that can somehow grab hold of all these difficult things, things that we can't even understand. And you get that sense as Paul goes on in Romans. He writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness or danger or sword?" All these things that he experienced. He's following God. He's trying to help God bring in this kingdom. And these are the things that he experienced. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. He's going to be in jail in Rome. He's eventually going to lose his life for the sake of this kingdom. You don't think he didn't have questions about this? How does this fit, Lord? Try to build a kingdom, but this is what we're experiencing here. So he writes, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," now listen to this list, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons," we've been talking about this battle in the kingdom against who? The father of darkness and his horde. It's a real battle. It's a tough battle. "Neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the kingdom that we need to be connected to. And I want to bring comfort. I want to bring comfort and peace to you in this situation. But I don't want to just give you some words, you know? Sometimes that's how I feel. I feel like as a pastor, I have to deliver some words that will somehow lift you and do something for you. And that can work for a while. But I'll tell you what will really work is your connection to the kingdom. Your connection to God. Your connection to your spouse and God. Your connection to your family and God. Supported in a small group. Celebrated in a church. Over a long period of time. See, your story has to join that kingdom story. You have to be a part of that. And when you are, Paul talks about a peace that passes what? Understanding. How does that work? I don't know. How do you get peace in the midst of things that you don't understand?
I don't know.
But somehow when you're walking with God in the kingdom, God brings it to you. You have this sense that I'm a part of something that goes beyond all these things, beyond all the problems, beyond my questions. Yeah, I have questions. But what I'm a part of goes beyond my questions. I had you read Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 reads this way, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it." Is that you? Does this describe you? Are you forcefully grabbing hold of the kingdom? So I want to give you the comfort of the kingdom this morning, but I also want to encourage you and challenge you, get connected to the kingdom. How do you get connected to the kingdom? How do you get connected to anyone? Talking, listening repeatedly. You want to connect to the kingdom? Talk, listen repeatedly to the kingdom. Well, how do you do that? John Calvin was born 500 years ago. How do I connect with what God was doing 500 years ago? Read a book. Study. That's what doctrine, church history, all these things are about. We connect with what God has been doing over centuries. To hear how Calvin went through his life, it was a tough life, and how God lifted him up. That does something for me. That lifts me up. To read C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book after his wife died called Grief Observed. And he writes his struggle with grief and with God and the kingdom and purpose. And where's this going? Now, C.S. Lewis is gone. He's part of this past. It's just a small little book. If you read that, the strength, the connection that you would feel to this thing that's bigger than you, bigger than your family, bigger than Pathway, bigger than this community. It stretches all the way to the beginning of the world, and it will stretch all the way into the future. The other way is to be fooled by the four kingdoms, and then what happens is despair and purposelessness will in the end win the day. See, that's what we're trying to do here this morning. Something that doesn't make any sense. Something that should not be happened last Thursday. And we're here together trying to not give in to despair. Not give in to purposelessness. We're not going to let the devil get away with that. We're not going to let him win. Because Jesus made that final death blow on the cross. We're going to sing a song at the end of our service. It's an old song. It's one that Martin Luther wrote, and I'm going to read some of those things, but listen to those words, because it's of a strong kingdom centered in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I know that there's many different thoughts out here, struggles. Maybe some are pausing to wade to the shore of whatever river they're flowing down, just to step on the shore and go, what is this river? Where am I going? Where do I fit? Am I just going with the flow? Where am I supposed to be? What's it about? Others are struggling with this kingdom of God. Is this the kingdom I want to invest in? Is this where I want to put my life? Does it make sense? What do I know about it? Who are the people that are doing this? What are they doing? So we have all these loose ends here this morning. And we give you those loose ends. Our lives are small. We can't figure out everything. As a pastor, I don't know what the answers are to everything either. I don't know. I read, I study, I listen to your voice. And that's what we all do. So we come here this morning a little humble, and we ask that your Spirit would work in and through us, that you would direct us, that we would be in your river, and that we would flow in your grace, and especially in this situation, that your grace would flow through us, that we can be an encouragement to the family, that we can be an encouragement to ourselves, that we can get excited about a kingdom that will last, that we can be these forceful men and women who lay hold of what you do. We can see your purpose in our own lives. Help us to grab hold onto that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.